good morning of Friday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Shartok. And this morning, live from Tanglewood in the Berkshires, you'll be with the roundtable.
David, it's like going back to camp again. You know, you sit out on that press porch and the birds are all around and the smell of the wood. And then all of these wonderful guests, from Mark Volpe, the head of the whole thing, to Tony Fogg, the artistic director and a wonderful man who books all of the things. And you get an inside look into the way in which Tanglewood works. And for those of us who live in the Berkshires, Tanglewood is, of course, the very vortex of the whole system. So many people are attracted because of the Boston Symphony and their generosity and what they do. And then you have the Jacob's Pillow down the road, which is the best dance festival probably in the world. You have the wonderful Shakespeare and Company and just so many other beautiful attractions that make the Berkshires what they are.
We'll be tuning in at 9 a.m. to hear all of it.
Indeed.
From there to the news of the day, the big meeting between President Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia. A number of analysis suggesting that no matter what, it's a win-win for Putin.
Well, Putin, of course, is in a different position depending on what the scenario is. If, in fact, Donald Trump and his business interests have colluded with the Russians, and at least one of Trump's sons said that they had, that the Russians had given the money that were needed for the Trump organization because they can't borrow money in the United States because they've gone bankrupt. Deutsche Bank doesn't want to do it, apparently. And so what you have are the Russians. That leaves the reason that we have an emoluments clause in the Constitution quite plain. In other words, it's there because you can't have American presidents finding themselves scared of or subjected to blackmail. Now, we don't know if that's the case, but we do know that there's a real possibility and that there's a huge investigation going on about all of this by Special Counsel Mueller, and that ball of thread will continue to come apart. Nevertheless, if the president is just representing the United States in tough negotiations with Russia, that's the way it should be. If he is doing those negotiations with two hands tied behind his back because he's scared that the information that the Russians may have about the Trump Organization, that really does compromise his ability to represent the United States. So when asked, his advisors are saying they don't know what they're going to talk about. It's anything that the president wants to talk about or brings up. That's pretty scary stuff, David.
Well, something else that seems pretty scary, at least in its headline form, hackers target nuclear stations. Security groups say apparently they weren't any of the controls of the nuclear power plants, but the idea side by side with the nuclear threat from North Korea that hackers are getting into nuclear stations.
Look, this is absolutely inevitable. We have a corruptible system, obviously, and you better believe that the North Koreans themselves have had a real interest in invading the computers in the United States of the most sensitive places. Is it inevitable that they will get in? Yes. It's very, very scary.
Closer to home and the potential for disaster. We've already seen some accidents. Now, New Jersey Transit says passengers should expect delays this morning due to congestion at New York's Penn Station following an earlier train derailment. Governor Cuomo reacting says it's a warning sign for infrastructure development, but as your conversation with Ken Lovett this week suggests, it's also political.
Well, let's remember, the way that he gets elected is in New York City and their suburbs, the very people who use the MTA. Upstate, not so much. They don't like him so much. So if he's going to win, which polls are indicating he will, he's got to win in New York City and the suburbs, where the Cuomo name is still magic, where the Democrats still are. On the other hand, if this is truly what is being called the summer of hell, where trains are sliding off the rails, he's the head of the MTA. Oh, he would deny that, but it is, and he took credit for it when the Second Avenue subway was finished. So you had better believe that one of the things that is really worrying him is the way in which people perceive his leadership in terms of mass transit, which is one of the major ways people get around. Now, as Ken Lovett pointed out, most New Yorkers naively think the mayor is in charge of it. Well, he's not. The governor is. And this puts him really in a very bad spot.
Our political observer, Alan Shartok, joining us. Alan, we'll all look forward to hearing you and Joe and the great folks at Tanglewood and the BSO at 9 a.m. this morning, live in the Berkshires.
We'll be there, and it'll be great fun. Thanks, David.